time. On ccTLDs and the other way around, maybe.
Okay, hi. My name is Arm Ritchie. I'm with ISC. It's my honor and privilege today to be able to moderate this panel of experts to discuss the impact of the new gTLDs on ccTLDs. So I'd like to introduce each of the panelists who will be doing all the talking once I'm finished introducing them. So first of all, beside me, I have Adrian Kindris from RE Registry. So, yeah, many of you probably know him formerly as Oz Registry. They changed their name. Adrian's been around ICANN for a long, long time, and he's been running the registry for many years,
10 years.
Beside him is Pierre Dangenou. I hope I said that properly. Yeah. Pierre is the chair of one of the African Union Task Force. He's also started the ISOC chapter. And he was a former chair of AFRICNIC. And beside Pierre, we have Volker Greiman, I'll get it, from Key Systems. It's a registrar, and he's a legal counsel there. And then we have Alexa Rad, who's the CEO of Architelis, which is involved in consulting with new gTLD applicants. And she's also the former CEO of PIR, the .org registry. And on the far side, we have Neil Dundas from Co.za Registry, South Africa, and he's the legal counsel there. So we have a good assortment of panelists from consulting on the registry sides, from gTLDs, from ccTLDs, registrars, and then representatives of the African states. So I'm going to pose the first question. And I'm guessing I'll put Adrian on the block right away. So January 12th of next year, the new gTLD applications open. There's going to be more than a handful of applicants. There's going to be probably quite a few. The world's going to change. Now, in reality, in fairness, I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen because this has never been happened before. But in your expert opinions, I'd like to like you to take out your crystal balls and think a few years from now, and what is the impact of the new gTLDs, and specifically for this audience, what is the impact on the ccTLDs?
Thanks very much. My name is Adrian Kindris, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate today. What are the impacts? I think that's, as you say, a little bit of crystal ball gazing, but one thing we can know for sure is that there is going, going to be an impact, and B, there will be increased competition in the namespace. Hey, Mohammed. And with that competition, now, the short answer, I think, is there's no need to necessarily fear that competition. As ccTLD operators, you're in a good position now to get your house in order and to prepare, which I think is a great reason to have this session today, is because what we can do is hopefully isolate some of those preparation points and work out exactly what you need to be doing as a registry operator now or a ccTLD manager now in order to make sure that you can either A, take the opportunity yourself, or B, be prepared to understand what the implications to you and your business will be. And I think that some of the questions you should be asking yourself around that now are around, does your ccTLD currently meet the needs and requirements of your constituents? Has the policy that you've had for a long time enabled there to be growth in other areas that are potentially leaving you open for new namespaces to come and to serve your constituents better? And if that's the case, you may want to be looking at that now. So I think that's one of the key areas, I think, is doing a little bit of a self-assessment and trying to get an understanding of what your current situation is and how can you react in order to make a difference, I guess. You already have existing relationships with players in the market. You may want to try to strengthen those, I think. So from a registrar point of view and looking at your distribution channel, are you meeting the requirements that they need? Ultimately, then, you need to make a decision as to whether you're going to participate as well. And it might be seen that you could actually be developing, in the example of, for example, a city or a geographic TLD, that you could be building a service that enhances your current offering. And that is if you're offering something that's country code specific and representative of your nation, that it may indeed make sense to want to try and cut that into finer slivers and so to develop a complementary product that can suit that. So I think that there's, you know, you've got to weigh up some pros and cons here about how you may want to address a particular GTLD. And it might give you an opportunity to change some of the policy and introduce new policy that can't be pushed down through your existing CCTLD. You could have a lot more open namespace. You could indeed make it closed and more restricted if that's what you wanted. So you could use the GTLD opportunity, if you were to participate, to service the market differently than what you are now. And then finally, I think that the last thing that I want to comment on, at least initially, is to understand that you'd be playing in a different playing field, that the environment that you've been living in as a CCTLD is somewhat insular. You decide on your policy, you decide on how your registry is going to be managed, you decide on your level of technical competency. If you're playing in the ICANN sphere, you no longer can do that. Those rules are dictated to you. And it's certainly been our experience in working with CCTLD operators and indeed running a CCTLD registry ourselves that there is a significant delta or a significant change between what we've become accustomed to and operating at a particular level. ICANN's requirements are very, very strict, and so you will want to make sure that you are in line with those. So, and I think that the biggest key out of that is also that you will have to sign a contract with ICANN, a North American company, and for a lot of you that may be an issue. For those CCTLD operators that are in the room now that don't have a current agreement with ICANN or have only just gone for lightweight letters with ICANN to join the CCNSO, that will be a significant impact to you. You will have to sign a fully fledged agreement with ICANN in order to secure a GTLD. So a couple of thoughts that I think that, you know, with respect to impact to CCTLD at that time that you may need to reflect upon.
Thank you, Adrian. I'll just let everyone know what the format of this is. I'm going to ask each panelist to basically respond to that same question. Then I'll open up some of my own questions that I haven't reserved. Then I'm going to open up questions to the audience. So there will be time for questions if you could keep them for later on. Pierre.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to actually brainstorm on this question, which is quite important. Of course, I share most of the thinking of my colleague who just spoken, but I would like to see this from the point of view of the user and also from the point of view of a continent that is Africa, which doesn't have so much registrars, and which also have a kind of identity sort of kind of way to play here in this new program, which is the Data Africa. So question we've been actually putting to ourselves is, okay, what's going to be the impact of even this Data Africa on our current CCTLDs? I think, and he said it, no, the world is going to change, actually. And in Africa, my impression that it's even going to be a greater change in terms of the way we've been managing those domain names. So I think, and if you let's say South Africa aside, in most places, the impression we are having is that we are not doing quite well. I mean, you have places where you only have maybe 300 or 500 registrants. There's not much. There's no sort of clear-cut marketing strategy that you see, that you perceive, meaning your clients is not really aware of what you are really, what type of service you are providing. In fact, that's what the users know are saying in Africa. But then again, when you consider most CCTLDs in Africa, of course, you can't also say that it's just one picture. You know, it's different from country to country, certainly. But basically, we are thinking that, well, new GTLD should bring new way of doing business in Africa. I sit on the Dot Africa Task Force for the Africa Union, and one of the questions that the people from Africa Union put to me is, this thing you're Dot Africa, what is it exactly? Is it bringing more money to this place? Because we already have the CCTLDs. We don't know what we are actually doing with them. So you really want to bring Dot Africa? We understand it has some sort of identity, sort of way. Well, it's going to be the African, you know, space there. But what more? So we believe that what more could be eventually to make sure that we develop capacity in Africa. Our impression is that our CCTLD managers maybe were not able to really impact Africa on what people should do with the CCTLDs. If you meet, and I did a thing, you know, if you meet with kind of African, even ministers, you know, because in earlier life I used to work with the UN, and I would be talking politics, you know, internet politics in countries, and I would be meeting with ministers and those who take decisions. And when you exchange your business card, most of them, they are having their own Yahoo, and that's all for them, yahoo.com. And when you say, but you do have a CCTLD here, they say, oh, yes, but I prefer that one. So meaning there is some sort of policy that is not there for people actually to consume their own CCTLD. So we believe that, well, Dot Africa will bring certainly new ways of doing things, new ways of, you know, doing the politics, but at the same time, new ways of outreaching to the ultimate clients. So we believe that the impact should be there. I quickly went through figures from .eu and .asia, and to find out that, well, although those two sort of kind of geographic, you know, GLD, you know, came into being, it didn't really, what do you say, people are still attracted by the domain names, meaning EU.EU is doing what it has to do. It's close to 3.5 million today. .Asia is also doing fine. But they have not really transformed the way people are consuming the CCTLDs. In fact, it's kind of value added to them, because one of the reasons why they're going for .EU is, okay, they say, well, we want to have a regional or European identity. We also believe that in Africa, CCTLDs should be able to sell this sort of, you know, identity, African identity, since CCTLDs are going also to become sort of registrars, you know, to the Dot Africa registry. So I really believe that it's boiled down to capacity development, boiled down to how we do business, you know, differently, and then how we build, you know, our client base. Of course, the issue is always the market. European market cannot be the African market. How do you make that people understand, you know, what the Dot Africa means? We believe that maybe the first, you know, users of this might be, how do you call them, the international company that has any interest, you know, in Africa, big companies. And then, of course, there will be a strategy vis-a-vis the small, you know, enterprises. So, yeah, this is briefly what I could say as an introduction to this discussion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Volker.
Hi, I'm Volker Greimann with Key Systems. Our main business is selling CCTLDs, and of course, GTLDs are also part of the business. We provide our customers with a broad portfolio of CCTLDs, so we kind of know what your business is and how we do business with you. The main part, what we see in our business as for the future, for the new GTLDs, is that they will not directly affect most CCTLDs, depending on their acceptance in their own home markets. The home markets will probably stay very much unaffected by the appearance of the new GTLDs, which will more likely have a supplemental role, will be an added feature for some companies, for some users, where they can express a more international or a more localized view more directly, but they will probably not go so far as to abandon their own CCTLD in favor of more international or more local TLD. That being said, some CCTLDs have uses that go beyond their home markets. For example, we see this with Turkey, which has a very restrictive TLD. And a lot of people in Turkey are registering domain names from Tokelau, which is also could also be seen a very, as a valid abbreviation of Turkey and has a very loose registration policy. If .Turkey were now to appear, that may be reduced. We see the same with .by for Belarus, which is registered a lot by Bavarians because it's a valid abbreviation. It's a nice extra business for Belarus, I guess, but this will probably be diminished by the appearance of a .by Bavaria, or .bayern, as we say in Germany. So the main business will be staying probably unaffected. The extra business might be effective, depending on the outlook of the or the use of the TLD. I do not see, for example, .tv being very much affected by .television because it's a very nice abbreviation, and it will probably not. There will probably still be the economic advantage of having a very short two-letter domain name, which is not possible for the gTLDs. As a registrar, we do see that domain names that are very easy to register, do not have a lot of formalities, sell better and more than restricted TLDs. Best example for that was .China, which was one of our best-selling TLDs for a couple of years until they put in the restrictions, and then it dropped almost down to nothing with new registration numbers. So what I would suggest is fortify in your home markets. Try to build your TLD to your markets. Try to popularize your TLD in your home market. If the TLD is not as popular or how do you say appreciated in your home market compared to gTLDs today, then it might really hurt your position in the future. If you have an accepted TLD, then you won't feel anything, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Alexa.
Thanks, Norm. I guess my take on this is somewhat colored by my experiences. One, having launched a TLD in the last round, .mobi, and having managed a large registry, .org. And also now within Arkitelos, we're a consulting organization, so we count CCTLDs as some of our clients, including GTLD applicants. And because we're independent, we get to talk to a number of different people, including analysts and so forth. So what I'm about to tell you is not necessarily what you ought to do, because every CCTLD is different, but some of the considerations. Number one, you've got to understand your current position. In other words, some CCTLDs are organized non-commercially. They may have a membership. Their mission and mandate may preclude them from being as active, particularly in a commercial sense. So before you take on any significant investment, understand your restrictions. Number two, how are you organized? Again, even if you are able to be commercially significant, you may have other restrictions such as the desire of your membership. Certain CCTLDs are really organized by a representative of the registrars in their market. And lastly, the kind of choices that you have are do nothing, change something within your product line. I think Adrian mentioned something about possibly changing, either making it more restrictive or more open, perhaps even adding something else to your product line. You can also be a back end. This depends on how much capacity that you have, whether you have that ability already set up. You can apply for a regional GTLD or a city TLD, the Bavaria versus, you know, .Vienna, for example, or apply for an IDN. But which one of these becomes more attractive depends on the following. What is your current penetration within your market? So if your market is defined as a particular country, then what is the current CCTLD penetration? What are other GTLDs? Have they made any inroads into your market? And if so, why? So look at the trends. Has it been relatively stable? How are you doing versus .com? In some markets, we've seen that there's a preponderance of, there's a preference for the local CCTLD. And that may be because of pricing. So another thing you have to look at is brand versus pricing. So, you know, are people aware? Do they prefer you? And do they buy you? And if so, what is that? Because if the new GTLD comes in and is significantly lower in price, then if you're not considering pricing into your matrix, then you may be surprised. How do you compare with other CCTLDs that you put in the class as similar to yourself? So if you are a non-commercial membership-based organization, is there another CCTLD that represents your population the same way? In other words, in terms of economy, in terms of size, in terms of the organization of the CCTLD, and how have they done with respect to the GTLD penetration in their market? That ought to tell you how potentially at risk you may be from a GTLD. It may be that your position is strong enough and that you have enough brand adherence, you have enough of a large brand that a new GTLD may not make significant inroads. And in fact, some of the new GTLDs may not even be applicable to your market at all. So you can't also lump all GTLDs into, you know, either a threat or an opportunity.
Thanks, Alexa. Neil.
Thanks, Norm. Just speaking in the context of .Africa as a GTLD that might impact on the region in which CO.ZA operates. I think from my experience as a trademark attorney, late 90s to the early 2000s, there was a surge in international brand owners trying to secure their brands in the CCTLD markets in Africa. And to some extent, the South African market was able to meet that demand. Presented in terms of policy, it presented an easy access to the domain name market for defensive registrations and also for registrations to actually commercially deal in that market. It also provided good cost incentives, or at least didn't put any prohibitions in place to meet those to actually get involved in that community. And from where we were sitting in South Africa, assisting international brand holders to secure their names, not just in trademarks in Africa, but also in the domain name sphere, we found that the African market wasn't technically, from a policy perspective and from a financial perspective, wasn't able to engage with that market. The market came to Africa during the late 90s, early 2000s, and Africa wasn't really in a position to engage with that market. So that brings us into the context of something like .Africa. What will .Africa mean for African CCTLDs? And it comes down to the same thing again. At the end of the day, is the African market ready to engage with that market, which I believe .Africa will create? Create some profile around the African continent, around African business, around the opportunities for not just local people within Africa, but also the international market who wants to invest. And will the African CCTLD community be able to take advantage of that market, that surge, that opportunity that could potentially be created by something like .Africa, which I'm sure we will all stand and rally behind, and it'll become to some extent it's successful and it will become Brand Africa. And if the CCTLDs will gear themselves well enough in policy and technology, they might be able to take advantage of that, because I think there is still a drive from international brand holders and local brand holders to secure their brands in CCTLDs. I think where we fall short is that it's quite clear that nothing much has happened since the late 1990s, early 2000s in terms of that preparedness. And the result will be that if we do not do something active in terms of raising the bar in the African market, in terms of the CCTLD systems, Africa will be left even further behind. So Dot Africa will bring the market. It is up to us, for the people that are going to be promoting and pushing for the delegation of Dot Africa, it is up to us to ensure that African CCTLDs are brought up to a level where they can engage with that market and offer the services on suitable terms for the market to take up. And I believe if they do that, the market will certainly take it up and support them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So some interesting insights. I think Alexa summed it up well when there's offered a number of cases. One is to do nothing. Another one is to strengthen your own CCTLD by addressing your market. Yet another is to offer registry services. And there's a fourth one where you can actually go for your own application. Now, if you're going for your own application, especially for CCTLDs, certainly IDNs come to mind, and I'm actually surprised no one mentioned anything about IDNs. Adrian, I think you've had some experience with those. I'm wondering, like, is that something that is CCTLD should be looking at, or do the new GTLDs pose a threat or an opportunity for IDNs?
Thanks, Norm. I think it was sort of a theme, I think, in the speakers when we said that you need to take a look at the way you're operating currently. And if your particular CCTLD has a large market out there that will respond well to a non-ASCII TLD or an IDN TLD in the CC, and you haven't gone and pursued that, then that's a real opportunity. What you need to do is make sure that you're at all times serving your community with which you're responding to. So IDN GTLDs, I think, are going to be a significant play, especially in the sort of non-traditional Western CCTLDs. And so I think that, number one, I would be trying to work out whether I should be offering my, if I haven't already gone and got my IDN CCTLD in place, to make sure that I'm servicing my constituents. But I think that if not, and if you're not serving your constituents, potentially IDN GTLDs may well do it from underneath you. And whether it probably becomes more attractive in a sense if people are able to communicate and have an affinity with a particular TLD. So a dot car in Arabic might not, a dot car in ASCII, dot C-A-R, may not necessarily resonate with your clients, because they could easily just use the local car dot CCTLD. However, if that dot car was now in Arabic, that may well resonate with them. They may feel more comfortable communicating in Arabic. If there's not already an Arabic version of the CCTLD, then they may well gravitate towards that. So I think in summary then, I think IDN GTLDs can indeed have a significant impact if you're not servicing that IDN component within your country.
Thank you. Does anyone want to add anything to that response? No, Alexa?
Thanks. I think IDN is certainly specific on a country-by-country basis. And again, before you embark on an IDN, just knowing that you have a user population that may use another script or language other than ASCII, I think is part of the way there. What you do need to do is, and again, this is sort of some preliminary homework that may save you a lot of headaches later, is to test whether The reason they have not purchased a domain name or gotten online is simply because there is not an addressing scheme that is in their language. Understand that IDN is a different product than a standard domain name. Email doesn't work the same way. It causes a lot of issues. There's a lot of customer education issues that you need to have so that the clients don't expect the same thing that they would have with a domain name with an IDN. So, A, understanding, is that something that they want? How would it change their behavior, and what are they willing to pay? Because your support cost for an IDN potentially would be different than your current support cost and structure for a standard ASCII GTLD, which is what you've been doing.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to say anything?
Well, I just wanted to add that it also boils down to kind of innovation that we really want to bring to the market. When it comes to Africa, for instance, this IDN will be wonderful because we do have so many languages there. Right now, Africa is just using, language that are not originated from Africa. So certainly there are many things to do there, and I can see many opportunities for innovating for whoever would like to get into that business. So I'm seeing this region as a kind of peculiar place where the market is and the market can be built, actually. But it calls for more innovation, actually, for our CCTLDs. Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, Alex is right. There are currently a lot of issues around IDNs and the way that they work today. I think it's important to note, and once again, probably a theme of today, is that what we're trying to do is look into the future here. First of all, IDN GTLDs will not be available and active. You know, you're probably looking at 18 months to 2 years from now. And if a lot of those problems that we're currently seeing with browsers and email and everything aren't resolved, I'd be very, very surprised. So I think you'll see more and more pressure put on those application developers with knowing that IDNs are coming in a big way, and I think you'll see a lot of those problems go. And I think it follows on from my colleague here as well, is that we're trying to build for innovation. What we're trying to do is ensure that we have the springboard in place that will enable the next generation of internet users. And I think IDNs, both in the CC and the G sense, can certainly do that. And so I just wanted to highlight and say that I think they are an absolute valuable tool, but don't look at them as the way they are now. Look at them as the way they will be. Otherwise, you won't understand the impact appropriately. And I think that goes for GTLDs full stop, is Norm set the scene with, you know, looking to the future and understanding at a point in time what will the world be like. And if you don't do that and you look at it the way the world is now, then you're really going to miss the opportunity, or at least miss understanding how you can prepare for GTLDs.
Thank you. A lot of you have touched on the idea of market, knowing your market, to make sure you're serving your community. And a lot of registries, although some sell directly to the registrant, a lot go through registrars. So we're going to have a lot of GTLDs coming. We're going to have IDN TLDs coming. A lot of the CCTLDs, especially the smaller ones, are starting to automate, et cetera. Everyone's getting on DNSSEC. A lot of change coming. As a registrar, though, you're the one that's going to be facing the customers. And change tends to introduce confusion at times for the registrants. Registries are a bit insulated from that in some cases because the registrars may take the brunt of it. So Volker, as a registrar, I wonder how you could comment on how you're going to deal with all these new GTLDs, IDN TLDs, and all the CCTLDs that also want you to be selling their domains.
Well, up to now, the number of TLDs out there has been limited. I mean, there's a lot of TLDs out there, but it was possible to have a full or very nearly full portfolio that you could offer to your customers. This will probably change, and there will be more boutique registrars and registrars that will only cater to a certain area, maybe, of TLDs. We do see that change, in any case, creates confusion. We have have seen a couple of recent GTLD land rush, well, a very recent GTLD land rush with a very specific topic, which did not formulate the policies as well as they could have in advance, which caused a lot of confusion and disappointment by potential registrants because the information that we were able to give them was not up to date or even fully thought out by the registry. What I'm trying to say is that as a registrar, we have always been working with the registries and passing on the problems that our registrants see with the TLDs. And I would urge you to listen to the registrars. And if registrars tell you there's a problem with your TLD, then try to fix that problem, because the better the registrars are able to sell your TLD, the more acceptance it will have in the market, and the more acceptance your TLD will have in the market, the better it will be able to stem the tide of competition if it comes.
So you touched on a good point there, and that was the way policy affects both the channel and also affects the technical implementation of how you do things. The uniqueness, I think, Adrian, you mentioned that the uniqueness of a CCTLD is that they set their own policies, they implement those policies, and they enforce those policies. But that's the good and the bad of a CCTLD. I think there's both sides to it. So, Alexa, you're quite a policy person. I wonder if you could comment on how, since they can modify their own policies or use their own policies, is there anything a CCTLDs can and should be doing to prepare for the onslaught of GTLDs and the increased competition?
Thanks. Again, I think that the best way is to first understand where you are currently today. So one of the things that I would always recommend to CCTLDs is take a look at your base to understand the financial impact to you. Whether you're not-for-profit or for-profit, it doesn't matter. You still have to pay your employees. So understand the financial impact. Look at your base and see how many of your names actually have content associated with it. How many of those names have MX records associated with it? And by content, I don't mean PPC content. That seems to be going away, but deep dive content. That will give you a sense of what percentage of your revenue is potentially in danger or at stake. So if you have a CCTLD where 80% of your names are associated with content and 80% of those are being used for email, there's a lot less chance that somebody is going to now drop that name. My view and my company's view is defensive registrations are, you know, selling out of fear. And that's not a long-term model, regardless of what else you may think about it. So just getting into a GTLD game to sell defensive registrations is not a good long-term play. So once you understand how much of your revenue is at stake, then what we've seen is whenever CCTLDs have lifted the restrictions of registration or made it easier for registrars to register a domain name, their numbers have gone up. But with increased volume also comes potentially increased headaches. As an example, having a requirement that there has to be an entity with an address in the country raises the bar a little bit in terms of difficulty of registration. Does that increase your security? Not necessarily, because I could go ahead and get a there's plenty of services that offer an address that I can get. I could still be a spammer. I could still be somebody you don't want as part of your base. But I've now met your specification. So look at, if you're looking at easing restrictions to be able to increase the volume in terms of policies, look at exactly what you're asking your registrar and your registrant to do. Because you're imposing potentially, you are imposing a different way of registering your name. So that, in a sense, is a change to the way the registrar registers your name. And second, you are changing the way that, by easing certain restrictions, you may now be admitting clients that you don't want, domain names that you don't want. So everything, you know, has an equal and opposite reaction in the universe, right? So opening up the space may increase potential for abuse. So are you ready to deal with that? Because, again, as a custodian of, you know, a nation's CCTLD, many of you have taken on the mantle of a public steward, of maintainer of a public utility. So having abuse now enter into the picture, you have to it's not going to be good for your organization. So you're going to have to look at abuse policies and potentially changing your abuse mitigation policies.
I must agree with Alexa here. The having a strong abuse policy is always prime importance to maintaining the quality of your TLD. One other factor that we have noticed recently with a lot of CCTLDs that they have been promoting their CCTLD very aggressively and actively in their own market by launching huge marketing campaigns to reinforce the label of their TLD in the market. This has, in all cases where we have seen this, led to very good results for the registry, sometimes even more than a restriction of policies could have done, which is not to say that a restriction of policies is not something we would like to see.
Okay, thank you. I guess we have some questions. Oh, 1 second. I guess we have some questions from the remote viewers, but if you just hang on to those for a second, and then we'll open it up to everybody, but we will get to that. And apologies, I didn't even know this was being done remotely. So I'll ask one more question, then I will open it up to questions. And this concerns registries that are either thinking of doing their own GTLD applications or offering registry services themselves. As you know, CCTLDs, I love CCTLDs personally. I'm just a big fan. And some have some great policies. And for the most part, everyone has very robust systems. They look at the abuse, they set their own policies around that, but that's not the same as a GTLD. So whether yours is better or not, it's almost irrelevant. So, and then you have to worry about the application as well. So I'd like to ask, what does that mean for a CCTLD registry to now offer services for a GTLD? What should they be expecting out of this? Maybe I'll start with Adrian.
Yeah, I think that's the big question, and certainly in my experience of talking to CCTLD operators that are becoming interested in either providing back-end registry services or indeed applying themselves, that there maybe is a lack of understanding about how sophisticated and how strict the new rules are going to be. It's one thing to run your registry in a particular format, and you might be sitting back running an EPP registry, for example, and think that, well, ICANN wants an EPP registry, I've got one, I'm good to go. That just isn't the case. As I said earlier in my opening remarks, the requirements that ICANN are putting down are very, very strict. And even existing GTLD registries have got a lot of work to do to bring themselves up to speed, despite what you may be hearing from them that, you know, that they've currently got all the answers for you. There is no one has the current level of requirements all done. No one has a trademark clearinghouse in place. The abuse policies that ICANN is requiring of us, the business continuity plans, the so on and so forth, these are very, very sophisticated mechanisms that in some cases still are not even locked down. So, you know, we're still trying to work them out. And from our point of view, let's take .au, we've had to do a considerable amount of work in order to prepare for new GTLD applications to close that gap. And that requires, you know, it's infrastructure, it's the things around you. When you talk about business continuity and you know, disaster recovery, you know, in some places, especially in Africa, it may be that you simply can't have a GTLD because you don't have a redundant provider. Which is pretty significant. My advice would be, before looking at the requirements Before looking at whether you want a TLD and making that decision, make sure you have a good understanding of the technical requirements, because it is vastly different to be running a CCTLD operation to compared to the GTLD, new GTLD operation. And I should actually, let me say that again in a different way. It is vastly different for any current registry operator, not just a CCTLD operator, but current GTLD operators, to be running within the new realm. Everybody has to make changes in order to get there. And I would suggest that, depending on how you're running your registry in your country, you would want to get a really good understanding of those technical requirements, because it may well be that it is beyond you just because of some of the physical infrastructure issues that you may be under in your particular country. So it's not insignificant. You need to do your homework and check it out. I guess the rewards are there if indeed you can close that gap.
I think as a user, of course, this kind of question is not one that really much interests me. But as someone sitting on the task force on this .Africa, I really want to echo what he's saying that, and we used to say that, well, this applicant guidebook should become a sort of Bible to people. And we also are saying that when it comes to technical specification, people need to really to be serious about that. And this is something we are really much looking forward to, whoever would like to stand up for this .Africa, that as far as technical specifications are concerned, they are really up to it. This is something that's a kind of important criteria that we really want to consider. Thanks.
Like Adrian said, the setting up of a GTLD is no trivial task. It's a task that takes long preparation, at least under the new GTLD program. And Adrian and myself will, of course, tell you that it's better to use an established or a new provider that are already in the place. That said, it's not rocket science. It can be done if one applies oneself to it and invests the necessary funds, which are significant, especially if you're trying to launch if you are planning to hand in your application at the latest in April, which does not give you much time. But I'm also saying that you do not probably need to run a GTLD business if you're a CCTLD that's very well established. Focus on your market. Do the things that you need to do to have the TLD strong, entrenched in the market, and you won't probably need to operate a GTLD unless it's really something that gives your users worth that goes beyond that what you already offer.
Yeah, and I wanted to add probably, and I'm sure Alexa's going to jump up and cheer when I say this too, because I'm sure she understands this probably more than most, is the most important thing to you now, if you're considering this, the technical side is absolutely part of it, but the critical hurdle for you right now is getting your application complete and getting it done. Is Alexa nodding yet? She is. Good. And Alexa will be the first to tell you also about how hard that can actually be to put your application together. I can expect that you've pulled together somewhat of a business plan, that you have a good understanding of where you need to take your new GTLD. So I guess we're highlighting the technical aspect here, but there is also another side. ICANN, probably quite rightly within its gamut of ensuring stability and integrity of the internet, it's asking you to go away and do your homework, your due diligence on how you're going to use your TLD, how you're going to afford to run your TLD, and so on and so forth. And there's not much time to do that right now. So your application, if you are looking at running your own TLD, is going to be most critical to you. You can sort out some of the technical requirements later, as far as physically getting them in place. But as you must have a deep understanding of where you want to take your TLD and how you're going to provide that sooner rather than later. And the application process itself is, once again, not insignificant. And you should be prepared for a fair bit of work in order to get that completed and get it completed well. So you've got to go out and raise some funds in order to apply. And as we all know, that's a significant investment. You've got to do the work, and that's a significant investment of your time. And then you've got to understand your technical capacity in order to ensure that you can deliver a TLD. One thing I should know, I don't want this to be self-serving here. Every one of you have the capacity in order to run your TLD. If you're running CCTLDs right now, ICANN has written a guidebook as such that anybody can apply for a TLD and technically run it. You just need to show them that you have the wherewithal to do so. Just because I'm running a TLD now doesn't mean that you have to use me with which to start your own registry services. You are all empowered to do so, and I assume that there is a fair bit of technical knowledge within your organisations as you're currently doing it. So don't let that scare you off. What we're trying to do up here today, I think, is just let you know that you need to understand that it is hard and there is a fair bit of work and there will be an investment of people, time and money in order to get this over the line. So thank you.
Okay, Neil.
Thanks, Norm. I think that goes without saying. I think anyone that's prepared to embark on a GTLD program must do their homework and they must prepare themselves and they must know what they're letting themselves in for. I think the fundamental question here is why would a CCTLD want to pursue a GTLD? That's the fundamental question. Because once you've made that decision, the rest just has to flow in accordance with the process.
Okay, so just watching the time, I'm going to open it up to questions now. If we could take the one from the remote first.
Sure. David Cohen would like to know following. Adrian explained IDN GTLDs will possibly have an impact on a certain market, and he used the example of .car in Arabic. What, if any, impact would IDNs have in the existing TLDs, for example, .com and .org?
What was it directed to me? I'm happy if anyone else wants to.
I'm sure Alexa's going to launch.
Go on, Alexa. Go ahead.
Thanks. As you know, IDNs have been around for ComNet and org since 2001. And in fact, I think my first job in this industry was as the product manager for IDNs. And I always joke that I should have asked back then when I signed up, do these things work? Because as a product manager, you sort of think a product ought to work somehow. They've been around for a long time, and all of the studies that I have seen have basically indicated that there is very little usage. Again, you know, looking at any kind of domain name sale, ultimately that the real marker is, are people actually using it, producing content, using it for email, because that determines how stable your revenue base is going to be from those names. So quantitatively, the research has shown that there's not a lot of usage as of yet. Qualitatively, some of the research that I've seen shows that, number one, for some users, they see it as a limitation. In other words, one of the beauties of the internet is that I can send you an email, type in your email address, and if you're in Zambia and I'm in Canada, you can get it and we can correspond. By restricting that character set to something that I may not have, so it restricts that. So is that good or not? Now, again, this hasn't happened to such a scale. So is there a market within a particular country where new people are going to come online and only want to deal with one another who already have the input method editors and the means to correspond? And having worked, for example, on the Arabic Script Working Group, looking at all the issues that are that come along with the Arabic script. Just having a script that's Arabic, you have multiple languages that are associated with that. So there's not just technical issues, there are policy issues that have to be considered on a CCTLD per CCTLD. So is it a great opportunity? It very well may be. You know, past performance is not an indication of future performance, but the only way you can know is not going by the general indicators, but going to your market and asking specifically, will this enable a new crop of users to come on board, come online, produce content, and then be a stable domain registrant for you? And not using it for other means like, you know, spam and so forth, which could be possible, or phishing.
If can I, sorry,
first, yeah.
Can I just respond to Alexa there? So when we say that IDNs have been around since 2001, that wasn't end-to-end IDN registrations. They were IDN.com, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Actually, they were IDN.com and org.
Yeah, but not end-to-end. So you couldn't register a domain name in Arabic completely.
That's true.
You had to convert it halfway. So I'm not necessarily sure that that's a fair comparison. I know if I was Arabic and all I spoke was Arabic, I'm not sure I would be that keen on the fact that I could register half my domain name in Arabic and then still have to rely on typing in .com at the end of it. So I think what we are seeing is some of the, with the launch of .emirat in the UAE, we've seen a good take-up of Arabic names. They're coming on slowly. I think we've seen in Russia with the launch of .ru in Cyrillic, they've now got hundreds of thousands of registrations coming through there, and that's gaining momentum. So I think it is quite possible that we will see some impact into our current, you know, the comms nets and orgs. Of course, anywhere people are spending money globally and have alternatives, then that's impacting the incumbent. So I think there will certainly be an impact within the existing namespaces. That's not to say that they'll go down, but maybe they won't be increasing at the same rate as what they have. So I don't think it's the end of .com or anything else like that that the press would have you believe. However, I certainly think that there will be an impact as people's money will be able to be spent on alternatives rather than thinking that there is just one for them. So thank you.
From our experience as a registrar, most of our customers have always experienced and commented that IDNs are half domain names, and they are half the value of a normal domain name, mostly at the same price, because they have half the usage ability, because they can be used to resolve web addresses, and that's about it. There's no email connected to it. And until these problems are solved, the IDNs will always be a supplemental solution. They will always be on top of what you already have. But if at some point there will be a solution where you can have IDN emails or full IDN domain names with full usage, then there will be an impact.
Thank you. I'd like to take any questions from the floor here, and I see Jay with his finger up already. Mr. Daly.
Thank you. At the moment, many CCTLDs are seen as quite special. They're seen as domain names of national importance. Will that fade over time? Is this actually more a question of availability? And as availability grows, people will cease to see them as being something special?
Wow, we always leave the J for great questions. Who wants to start on this one? I see Volker. He's a registrar. We'll start there, then we'll let everyone else respond.
Well, CCTLDs have historically always been strongest in their home community. The CCT of a country is usually, there are exceptions, most popular in the home country, and it's also a matter of national pride and convenience to register your main domain names in your home country first and then go abroad. It's a matter of usage where you want to advertise your product or your intention in your home country and make it clear that this service or this product is available in your country, directed at the target audience. I mean, a CCTLD is always a label that that makes it clear to the user that this service, product, or content is directed at a user in that country. And I don't think the identification of a two-letter CCTLD domain name with the country it represents will fade over time. There may be other strings that represent the country better, but that depends on your market penetration and your efforts to fortify yourself in your market.
Alexa?
I think fundamentally any domain name or any TLD is a pointer to an IP address. That's all it is. And so the value that we create, the understanding that a registrant has, is simply the branding. It's a perceived value. And what has happened is, in different markets, that same pointer, that same label that you so aptly described, has a different perceived value. So therefore, a particular TLD can charge $300, and another TLD can charge, $399. But it does the same thing. So to me, that says that there's a job that some have done very well of creating a branding which does three things. Awareness, is your market aware that you exist? Because no sale can happen without that. Preference, do they prefer you over other alternatives? And some CCTLDs have done an amazing job in not only creating the awareness, but also the preference. And third is sale. So I may be aware of Lamborghini, I may prefer a Lamborghini to my Honda, but can I actually purchase it? So do I get to the purchase decision? And some CCTLDs have done a great job of these three, building on a basis of something that essentially is a commodity. And to the extent that you can continue those efforts of building the awareness, preference, and sale, then I think you extend the life of your product.
Okay, Neil?
I think I'm just going to repeat everything that the previous two people said, and summarize it in a simple term. For as long as that CCTLD serves the community and is perceived to serve a community, it will be supported. And as soon as it's no longer able to reach that community, it will be dropped. That's as simple as it is.
Yeah, I think Neil just nailed it. I just want to add one more point, and that is that you, from a marketing background, you know, I've been doing a number of presentations lately, and it's interesting when you talk about Honda.com. If I have to put that on a billboard, and then I have Honda.com/ Sydney for the Sydney dealership, when I see that address on a billboard, there is a little bit of rubbish in there. .com actually doesn't mean anything. It used to be that we used it as an identifier to help us understand that that was an internet address. But more and more as we evolve, we now know that we don't need to see http://// to help us identify. We don't even need to see www anymore. And I think the next evolution will be that we don't need to see .com anymore. We'll just see sydney.honda and know that is the address. And the dot will be the identifier that helps us tell us it's a web address. The reason I bring it up in this context is because I think there will always be relevance for country. And so unlike .com, where you can say that, well, we can get rid of that because that's superfluous marketing information, I only have so much recall with my eyes. When I see honda.au, I'll want to keep that because there's no rubbish in that. It's telling me that there is a Honda dealership in Australia. Now, it might not be as specific as what I want it to be, but the com part of it that doesn't tell us anything is no longer required. So I think that there will always be a value there from a marketing sense, but only on the back of what Neil has said. So the beauty of country codes is that they do something. They identify. And what I'm saying is that identification process will carry over, whereas in .com, in a generic sense, it's just a bucket. And it may not be apply in the same way as a CC. So you've got that benefit as a CCTLD operator.
Encouraging. It is encouraging for CCTLDs. York, you had a question?
So, York Schweiger from denik.de. More kind of a comment than a question, really. If I got the discussion right, the question was how do the new GTLDs going to impact the CCTLD's business model? And I'm just wondering why we just don't slice the elephant. And so let's take a look at the different kind of GTLDs. So first of all, there's GOTLDs, okay? I think we can quite easily estimate on the impact and the success a certain GOTLD might have, like Dot Berlin, for example, or Dot Hamburg in the case of German market. I think the same thing applies to brand TLDs. Well, the number of brand TLDs in a certain market is clearly restricted. So what we can do is we can estimate about the impact on our business model. Okay, so what is left? The only thing that is left is that there are some really generic TLDs around, like, I don't know, sports, for example. And, well, I think we saw some really GTLDs before. So it's not that really hard to decide and to estimate what the real impact on a certain CCTLD in a different market will be. And my answer would be, well, not that much, but I'm wondering what the panel thinks about this elephant slicing.
So the slicing you've done, I think, in my mind, is flawed a little, with all due respect. And that is, I think when you look at generic terms that are more specific to my market, for example, maybe a dot wine, a dot insurance. Now, if I had an insurance company, now I could have adriansinsurance.com.au, or I could get adriansinsurance.insurance or adriansinsurance, if I wanted to, if someone was selling names. That is automatically attractive to me because now it's more specific about what I want to play in. I think where the issue may be is if I'm running the insurance registry and I offer a CCTLD before, so I hold and retain at the second level .au, so it's .au.insurance, and then I look to sell names at the third level, that could impact a CCTLD, because now I'm achieving everything a CCTLD does, except only more. I'm identifying the market that I play in, being insurance, and I'm identifying the location, being Australia. So now I'm offering registrations that potentially could impact CCTLD operators that just had com.au, which wasn't specific, but did provide the location that services that I was talking about before. So I think you'll see the generic providers may indeed want to slice their particular term up in order to compete with CCTLDs at that level.
May I answer that directly? Or counter that? Yes or no? I didn't question that there might be an additional gain or use by providing a new GTLD, and that is right for both the registrant as well, probably for the registry or whom else. But does this additional use and that somebody really takes advantage of this additional use really has an impact on the current CCTLD? That's the question I would answer with not really.
Ask Volker to respond as well.
Well, I tend to agree with that assessment because every registrant wants when he registers a TLD or a domain name, more like, is to be found on the web. How does he do it? He registers an address by which he thinks people will find him on the web. If it will help his message or his product or whatever he does with his domain name, then he will register multiple domain names. So if you look at a TLD and see what makes up that TLD and say, okay, that's 50% brand protection and 10% sports, and now there's a sports and the brands have their own TLDs, they won't necessarily abandon their CCTLD registration. They will use their new TLD as their main, maybe. They will use it on top of the CCTLD registration, but they will not abandon the users that are used to finding them addressing them in their home markets by using the CCTLD. What you may find will be reduced is the mere protective registrations, where a brand owner says, I don't want my XYZ brand name to be diluted by any grabbing domain registrations that are fraudulent or by someone who might abuse my trade name. But lawyers would disagree with that assessment, and being one myself, I would say that even though a dot brand has been registered, there's still a danger of dilution of brands, even though people will then know that there's no real addressing factor anymore for the defensive registrations. So most companies will, for mere protections, keep up their defensive registrations, which will, of course, also benefit your registration numbers in total.
So this is where I think what I said earlier comes into play. Knowing what your current market is doing, how many of your domain names are associated with with content, and that is branded, so it's going directly to the content, and you're the primary domain name. How many other domain names are being redirected as a cloaked redirect? So what is the primary branding for that content? Because that, you're absolutely right, the chances of somebody now changing that and rebranding themselves under a new TLD is much, much smaller. What they will likely do is they will do, if they do a cloaked redirect, then they're reinforcing your brand. If they do a redirect where now you can actually see, volkersinsurance.co or .tv, then that's the .tv branding that's in play. So knowing exactly what your market is doing, how much content, and how much of them are actually using you not only for the primary brand but also for email will tell you how much you're at risk. What we've seen long term is that those registrations that have been defensive in nature, where a new TLD has come on board, people have registered it and have done a redirect, many of them drop off. So typically a TLD does a two-year sunrise registration. I challenge you to go look at the registrations of the last few TLD rounds and see after the two-year how many of them actually dropped off. Those were the defensive registrations. So even though they give you a nice hit of revenue up front, defensive registrations in and of themselves are not a long-term financial play.
Okay, thank you. Oh, another question here. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Okay, Serigne Abdou Azindai from Senegal. Just a question about, the speech of our president today. Africa is not well developed, and I think that you will have to take into account all the guidelines of the Minister of African Ministers and also the speech of the president. Now, my question is, how can you appreciate this speech and what kind of solution is possible for Africa to solve this problem of IDM?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question.
What was the last part of the question?
Our president till today, Africa is very huge. There are several countries, there are several languages, and we need to enter the numerical words, real. And it is, our president is working for the African Unite for this speech technology of information. And now, the real problem of Africa, this digital divide is so huge. And in this field, the domain name, it's special typical name, just like Tuba, as the example he gives to this morning. So I just like to know what kind of strategy, what kind of solution is better for Africa in this field.
Oh, okay, if I can paraphrase what you're saying, I think what you're saying is how do the new GTLDs or any TLD actually help the community? It's a good question. Who wants to take a shot at that? Well, we'll start at the end. Neil's been sitting there. I can't always see him.
I think the simple answer is that in the African context, a new GTLD such as .Africa or .Afrique presents an opportunity, more so than any other GTLD in my mind. An opportunity not for commercial exploitation necessarily, but an opportunity to develop thought leadership, technology, policy in the African region. I think that's the opportunity that the GTLD offers, such as .Africa, and it is really up to heads of state, members, citizens of Africa, to rally behind those GTLDs, to see that they are supported, and to see that, in a way, the benefits that flow from them benefit Africa, benefit CCTLDs, and that basically it raises CCTLDs up from where they are to a position where they can compete in the global market. So I think, in short, it's an opportunity we can't afford to let go. And things, technologies like IDNs, DNSSEC, this is, again, an opportunity that can piggyback on a GTLD that could eventually find benefit within countries' CCTLDs.
Well, I tend to disagree. I don't think that the new GTLD business will do anything to lessen the digital divide in Africa because of the price tag attached to it. Even if the price tag for applicants from developing nations is reduced, as we have heard before and has been explained by the ICANN staff, the application cost is the smallest part of the operation of a new TLD. The operational cost, the security instruments, the technical requirements are so high that it's economically, in my view, unfeasible for developing nations to use new TLDs to boost the acceptance or use of the internet. New TLD will not create new internet lines, new backbones, new internet users, new computers that that the consumers can use. That money could be spent better by improving the infrastructure. And the CCTLDs that you have already, they play a critical role. In many countries, we see the operators of the CCTLDs as wardens of the internet community of their countries, where they are using the profits that are gained from the operation of their TLD to improve the situation, to improve the acceptance of the internet, to create new lines, new points where you can access the internet, buy computers for remote areas with satellite connections, what have you. I don't think the new TLDs will change much in the way the internet is available to the the people in Africa. It will change perhaps at some point the way the internet is used, but if there is no usage or a very limited usage, then this will have little impact, in my view.
Whilst I think I agree with the sentiment, the only difference I would put in there is the ability for IDNs. And I think that we've already said that there are some limitations with IDNs. But with the removal of those, I know that I've been... I was in Saudi Arabia, and there was a billboard up that was completely written in Arabic, with the exception of the domain name. And I took a photo of it, and I went and had a meeting with the government. And I showed the photo to the government, and they said, that's not the worst part of it. The worst part is, if you look, for some reason we write in internet domain names, we write in lowercase. But take a look at the keyboard. Our keyboards are in uppercase. So the gentleman from the Saudi government told me that the children on the internet, they can't even, when they see the A, an ASCII A in lowercase and then look to uppercase, they can't even find it on the keyboard. So I think that Volker's right. However, there will be where there is starting to be internet penetration. However, this internet penetration is forced to be done in English, that there'll be a difference. And this should help close the divide at least a little. I think if a child that doesn't know English but can get to school and get on a computer but can now go and search Arabic content locally... and that promotes Arabic content locally, then this could provide some impetus to close the digital divide. It won't be everything, and I agree that it's more about infrastructure and computers and having access, but once you've got that, I think localised access, localised content will help spur more engagement and more involvement.
Maybe 1 minute. Sorry, I have to have an urgent call. But no, as far as your question is concerned, I think I'm seeing two sort of pronged approach here. In fact, you want to preserve some of the name, the Tuba, for instance. And I know that the GAC and others are actually, you know, urging for that, that there be a list, you know, for reserved sort of name. And I think Tuba and the rest, of course, qualify for that. Of course, there should be some work to do vis-à-vis GAC and then ICANN itself. So that's one part. But when you alluded to the digital divide, I really believe that Africa cannot be different. We should stop seeing Africa as a different place, especially when we are in this business of internet. Africa has to be seen also as a market. And it's a kind of billion people in Africa today. Question is, how do you build the industry in Africa? Why do you stop? How do you stop consuming? You got operators, for instance. We say Africa has done a lot on mobile, you know, telephony. But Africa is not manufacturing chips. So that's the issue. How do you get the industry within the country here? And how do you make sure that your private sector also qualify? I think that's the issue. So it's about policy. It's about the politics that you put to place. But it's certainly not about assistance. I mean, nobody's going to come and do it for Africa. That's my view on that. But it's someone coming from the donor, you know, community. I mean, I really understand, and I know what I'm talking about. It has to be done by African countries themselves. They are already doing well as far as infrastructure is concerned. You know, they are building cables. That's fine. Of course, question is being, okay, how many sort of local, you know, business, all of this is empowering because it's also about your business. He talked about content development. Yes, that's going to be one of the drivers of those things. Where are we today? What are we doing vis-a-vis this thing? So I think that's we need to do homework, our own homework in that regard. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll take probably a time for, depending on the response, one or two more questions.
Hi, yes, my name is Ope Odusan from Nerai, from Nigeria.ng. As most of you know, a lot of users are likely to come more on the internet from Africa in the next couple of years as infrastructure develops properly. There's a phenomenon going on now in some parts of Africa, and I've noticed that as well in Senegal. The relevance of domain name and search engines. Most people actually that are new to the internet, they don't remember names. All they do is they open up their browser, maybe without their knowledge, they just see Google. And the next thing they do is they search, and then things comes up. I mean, that's real, that's what's happening. So I want to hear your comments in terms of how the new TLDs and even the old CCTLD, how the business model is going to be impacted by the likes of Google.
Okay, I'm going to paraphrase that and hope you don't mind. You want a bit more to it. So it's true. A lot of people use search now, and there's also the applications come in there, such as, you know, iPhones where you just connect to the App Store and away you go. So some people have postulated that there will be a movement away from domain names. So it's a great question. How is that going to impact TLDs? I'm going to start with Volker this time.
This taps back into what I tried to point out earlier. This is just another new way to address the content, to direct people to the content. If it becomes so ubiquitous that everybody is just using apps, then domain names might disappear at some point, but I don't see that yet.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of... thank you for the question. I think it's really interesting. Number one, I think it's a travesty that Google, if you imagine, we Adrian has the benefit of being able to type and go directly where he wants to go every time he wants to go there, because that's the power of a domain name. It's a definitive way to get somewhere. I think it's a travesty, and there's a reason why Google makes so much money, is that if your default position is to have to be forced to navigate through Google every time you want to go somewhere, then I think that that's wrong. And I would like to think that IDN TLDs will lead a return to intuitive navigation back at the address bar. With respect to the future of domain names, we're talking about one angle of domain names. I think Volker brought this up before, is that domain names are used for many things. They're used for email as well, importantly. And so I think whilst we may search and navigate the internet through different mechanisms like apps, and indeed, facebook.com/brand has become a popular way. Everybody, all the brands setting up a Facebook page rather than a website. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the way. I think domain names are definitely here to stay because we use them in so many different ways and formats. But I think it's an important message that you bring is, following on from my story earlier, that in the Arab region, the tradition, because they haven't been able to type in, is to go to Google, because I can type in Google in Arabic. And I can search in the search bar in Arabic and get to where I want to go, get to the content I need. If you provide the mechanism whereby they can use domain names to do that in an end-to-end situation, hopefully you'll pull the reliance away and we can stop every time I want to get on the internet, I'm being told where to go by an American company. That's hopefully what we're going to see eradicated with the introduction and education of new GTLDs, especially IDNs.
Okay, Volker, you want to say something else?
Well, to maybe put my earlier statement into context, I spent a couple of years in Asia, and one thing that I noticed there is that advertisements almost never use domain names. They use search engine optimization. So you see an advertisement for a product, and then you see a search window and a certain term in my case, kanji letters, Chinese letters in Japan, and that way the customer will know that he'll get to the page that the advertiser wants you to see. Why is that the case? Analyzing this is because the current domain name system does not apply in a way that the users would expect a domain name system to work. They cannot enter the symbols that they are used to, the symbols that they've grown up with, which they have learned in school. And even though IDNs are now possible in those countries, these are only half domain names, as I've pointed out earlier, so they cannot be used for everything else. So to direct the customer to your store directly in a perfect way, this was the best way to handle that. Now, with full IDN domain names, this might turn around in a couple of years if the services are adapted to a way that a half domain name becomes a full domain name.
Okay, I'm just about out of time. Is there any more questions from the remote? Nope. Anybody got a burning question they want to ask? Looking at Jay, that's all good. Okay. So we drifted off topic here a little bit, but it was good. The one thing we do know is coming is change. There's going to be a lot of change coming in many different ways. And, through nice dialogues like this that we all learning how to manage with that change better. So, and I'd really like to thank the panel. They don't know where the questions are going to come from or how they're going to have to respond, and they have to be on their toes. I really very, very much appreciate the great job they've done here. It's a round of applause.
Right. Thank you to Norm for hosting that. Dr. Lissa has had to disappear as he is unwell, as he gave us far too more information about, too much information about this morning. Earlier today, we were unable to have the presentations from the host country, from Senegal. I wonder if the people that are here and able to give those now before we close up for the day. Is anybody here? Wednesday, no, we had two.
Alex.
Yeah, we had Alex.
Alex and Mom.
Yeah, job. That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, okay.
Are they here at all?
No.
Okay. So just to finish up then, as we hold these meetings, we try to make sure that there is a small group of us who meet to arrange these meetings. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Dr. Lissa, Norm, Andre Philippe along there, Luis, and me. If you would like to be involved in these days and how we set the agenda, then please contact some of us so that we can begin to bring more ideas into it. We've tried to cover a set of interesting topics, from those that are of interest to registries that have very developed technical expertise through to greater information sharing for registries that would like to know what other people are doing. And I think we are all clearly aware that we need a better mechanism for sharing information than just these meetings, that we need something that is sustaining beyond this, some form of website or best practice documentation, other things that people can continue to learn from. So we will be working to develop those, and any ideas that people have about that would be useful. We have the big challenge of new GTLDs coming, and we've had a number of discussions about it, and that's something I think we will focus on again next March, because we will be in the middle of the application stage then, and we'll have had learnt some more lessons about how that might affect us. But if anybody else has any particular topics they would like us to see discuss at the next CC Technical Day, then please do let us know. But otherwise, thank you all for coming. It's been very good to see you here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.